start by thanking everyone for being here tonight. I imagine that not everyone in the room knows Chaim. You're missing out if you haven't met him yet. But it means a lot, you know, to Chaim and myself and our entire family, people coming together to learn for Refuah Shlema, someone who's not yet well. We hope to hear good things b'karov. It's not pashut to make sense of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's pretty foolish of us when we like to imagine that we sometimes understand. And when Eov, who I guess is the ultimate example, the paramount example of someone who's going through so much, who suffered so much, person seemingly a righteous tzaddik, someone who seems to be an Eved Hashem, a serious Eved Hashem, and his whole world collapses on him. And Eov's friends come and they gather and, you know, they schmooze a little and they try to talk, try to make sense of the whole thing. So Eov says in Perek Yud Gimel, he says, Ulam anil shadaya daber, vocheach el echpatz. He says, I don't really want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to talk to his friends anymore. So I want to talk directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Schwab in his parish on Eov explains that Eov is basically saying to them, I'll read you the words of Rav Schwab, because he says it much better than I could. He says to his friends, you have a simplistic view of the world, and it does no justice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not helping God's cause by oversimplifying your view of Him. God would be much better served if you do the opposite. Ask Hashem all the questions I have asked, show all your contradictions, and then turn to Him and ask Him to please enlighten your eyes and allow you to understand what He's doing. When a person, unfortunately, when a close family member, when anyone of Klal Yisrael is afflicted with a serious illness, shouldn't be so serious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it not so serious. When a person is afflicted with a situation that's challenging, right, so we all want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yoav says that's really, you know, as much as we're going to talk and hopefully gain some chizuk and talk positive things, at the end of the day we all have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and acknowledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't understand your ways. Sefer Yikarim has a famous statement. Sefer Yikarim says, Lu yadativ ha'yisif, which means, what if I understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'd be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nachman has similar teachings as well. The idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much bigger than anything we could possibly imagine. And it's foolish for us to try to make sense, to try in our small, petty way, to try to make sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complex world. It doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to. Right, we're challenged all the time. The Mefarshim grapple with the Pesukim. You look at the Pesukim at the beginning of Az Yashir. So the Mefarshim are trying to figure out what's going on. It switches gears. It starts off describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the more detached, right, in the third person, in the Nistar, as it's called. What does it mean in Nistar? Right, describing Hashem from a distance. It says, about Hashem. Hashem, you are Go'oga'ah. You're Rama Bayam. Describes Hashem in a more detached way. And then as the Pesukim go on, it switches over to talking to Hashem directly. You Mincha Hashem. You're talking right you. We're talking directly to you, Hashem. Ruach HaPecha. Talking you. Right? And the Farshim struggle, you know, why does it start off Lashon Nistar and switch to Lashon Nochach? You're talking directly to Hashem. So the Sefer Avnei Shoham, Rav Moshe Leib Shachar, says that the idea is that they started to say the Shira, and they felt detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not even approachable. But as they began to say the Shira, and they got more and more involved in the Shira, they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is attainable. That they thought they could make sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So instead of it being this detached, Go'o Ga'ah, Ramah Vayam, they switched over to what? To talking directly to Hashem. You look at the Pesukim over and over. It's you, talking directly at Hashem, speaking directly to Hashem. That's the answer that Avnei Shalom gives. But the Tolner Rebbe says it's not really satisfying, because the way the Shira ends is Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ve'ed. It goes back to talking to Hashem in this detached way. So Tolner Rebbe writes, in Sefer Hemi and Achamuni, Tolner Rebbe says, the Vardis, as much as we try, and we should try, to make sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go from that realm of Lashon Nistar, of I don't get you Hashem, to the world of I think this makes sense, at the end of the day we always acknowledge Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ve'ed. And not only that, when we say it as part of our davening, we say it two times over. To remind ourselves, we don't really get it, no matter how much we think we get it. And no matter how much we talk to Rechizik and try to make sense of it, and try to be mechazik each other, and try to just make a little sense out of difficult situations that we encounter in our lives, the bottom line is we don't really get it. We can't really get it. Az Yashir is the source for Tchias HaMeisim. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, it says, where is there a hint to Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah? Right, it's by Oz Yashir. Why does it say Oz Yashir? Then they Oz Yashir Moshe? It should say Oz Shar Moshe? Moshe sang in the past? What do you mean Yashir will sing in the future? It says this is a hint to Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. So Chidush HaRem wants to make sense of it. You know what's the pshat? Why Dafka here you have to teach Tchias HaMeisim? There's nowhere else in the Torah to teach Tchias HaMeisim. So Chidush HaRem says, you have to understand, there's Emunah and then there's Re'iyah. Emunah is when I don't get something. Re'iyah is something that's tangible. Right? If I say that, I believe that I'm in this room, that's not true. That's not believing, that's knowing, that's seeing. Everyone sees that I'm in this room, we all see that we're in the room. Right? Emunah means that I don't see it, it doesn't make sense to me. So what happened at Shiras HaYam? What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? The Medrash says, the Mechilta says, that what? Ras HaShivcha HaYam, right? That every person, Anashim, Nashim, Ketanim, every single person saw revelation beyond belief. And Ke'ilu says the Chiddush HaYam, our Emunah was batel. The Emunah was batel at that moment, because they saw everything. Right? They could point to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was tangible, Kiviyachal, if you could say such a thing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu reminds him at that moment, he says, let me give you something that every second a Jew has to live with something that's beyond him. He has to live with something that's still in the realm of Emunah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them at that moment the mitzvah of Tchias HaMeisim. He says, here, you need something to think about, to struggle with. Everything's so clear to you, it's so pashut to you. Here's something, think about this. Right? Think about how it's possible for me to take something that's not alive and bring it back to life again. So that every second the Jews would be able to live with that Emunah. Because a Jew can't live for a second without the Emunah. That's really Lamaisa all we can do. We strive, we try to make sense of it. Lamaisa, at the end of the day, all we have to do is have Emunah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, and respond as best we can. I could say in the short time since Chaim was unfortunately diagnosed with leukemia, so in just the short time that he's encountered this Nisayon and worked at this Nisayon, and I've spent time talking to him about this challenge, it's amazing just the amount of things that I've learned from him, and I think would be a big schus to share, which is some of the ideas, some of the thoughts that he had. Just to start, you can imagine what it's like when a doctor walks into the room, happened to be a close family friend of ours, which made it not that much easier. Happens to be Chaim's doctor, his regular doctor, not someone who's constantly telling people, about serious illnesses they have. And he walked in and Chaim could tell right away it was not a good prognosis. Although Baruch Hashem, whatever that means, he has the good leukemia. Apparently there's good leukemia and bad leukemia. There's good leukemia, if you say such a thing. Which means that, I guess, within the Olam HaTeva, it's more treatable, Baruch Hashem. So he told me, and this is the first night, mom was the night after he was diagnosed. He's a person who has a wife and two children. And he told me that after the initial shock and the crying and the obvious response that any normal human being would have. So Chaim sat there with his wife Talia, my sister-in-law, and he said, we have to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Mishnah says in the ninth parak. Person has to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the good, thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the bad. Theoretically, we all know the Mishnah. It's a different world when it happens to you. And he was mamish, he was makabalit, 100%. 100%. He was makabalit, he said, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sat there with his wife, and he said, I'm makabalit 100%. And even before that, when he thought he just had the flu, which would have been a big bracha, so I went to visit him Motzei Shabbos, and I walked in, and he's been in bed for a couple of days, which, for those who know Chaim, that's the biggest punishment in the world, as he put it. And he said to me, I already told the Kadosh Baruch Hu this afternoon, I get it. I'm a Kabbal, I did something wrong, I'm going to do tshuva, I get it, go right there. This is before he knew anything. And it's that attitude of being Makabal, the Makabal Kadosh Baruch Hu, to have the Emunah, to say, even when I don't get it, I do get it. To try to have the Emunah to make sense of everything. To be able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, theoretically, it's nice. We'd all like to imagine we'd be able to do it. To not be at all angry. And to just trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. It's really an amazing thing. It's something we can learn a lot from. I think the way that a person comes to such a level is to understand something that Rav Tzadok explains about illness. This obviously is a big chizik for anyone who, God forbid, is ever put in such an nisayon. But Tzadok in Parshas Tazria is describing the pasuk in Shemos Perek Tazvav. The pasuk says, "Vayomrim Shemoa Tishma." If you listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so in Tazria and Pritzadikos Aleph. All of the machla that I put on Mitzrayim, I'll never put on you. I promise I'll never put this on you. And the question that everyone has to deal with is, it's not true. The mice, it's not true. But only big Rishayim get terrible diseases. We never heard of a person, we never got a report about a good person. A person who's an Eved Hashem, a serious, you know, Jew, who's trying to do good things. Literally at the time that they're diagnosed with this. So Tzadik says, you have to understand. He says, when a person is afflicted with a machla, like the Pasuk says, call a machla, shir santi mitzrayim, lo asim alech, I'll never put it on you. But Tzadik says, there's a big difference the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings an illness on a Yid and on a Rasha. He says, when a HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts a Rasha, it's begether onesh. It's a punishment. It's a punishment. It's literally a punishment for that individual. The mitzvah are being punished. The nega. Oh, nega I'll bring on Mitzrayim. Oh, nega. The Pasuk described by the Makos. What was it for Klai? So it was a refuah. What? It's just a refuah. So Rav Tzadik writes the following. He says, "L'mitzriyam hayamake b'shor shamrak onesh." He says, "Yeah, on the surface, it looks like a punishment sometimes for a yid as well." He says, "But by a rasha, by the mitzriyam, b'shorish was an onesh. Right? In its essence, it was a punishment." V'zelo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. Says Rav Tzadik, what does it mean? She'af shelifam tzarech lavo hamaka kinegayim. Even if sometimes it looks like I'm bringing a nega against you, it looks like I'm punishing you. On the surface, it looks like the same nega. It's the same poison they have to pump into your body. It's the same chemotherapy. It's the same challenges. He says what? He says, Rav Tzadok, Yerak derech refuah. Shem izbeach kapara. He goes on to quote the Gemara in Brachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will afflict the person for the betterment of that person. And it's never chas hashalom because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he wants to punish. It's always as a means of refuah. It's always as a means in the bigger picture. It's in the means of refuah. It's in the realm of kapara. Rav Tzadok concludes by saying, if you look at the tocha and kisavo, the most horrific things, mamash the Holocaust, over and over. Everyone knows the psukim. I don't have to describe it. So Rav Tzadok says, you look by those psukim, you'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that appears throughout kisavo, throughout the tocha, is what? Yud kei vav kei. Because mamish at the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beating the heck out of us, he's breaking us down, mamish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding me, I'm there every step of the way. My shame of rachm, my shame of love is there every step of the way. And I think Chaim is someone who's been makabalit in that way. But he's not the least bit angry. You can imagine after he stopped crying and after he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving him this machla. So he turned to the doctor, who I said happens to be a close family friend of ours. And he says to the doctor, he says, that must have been so hard for you to tell me that. I'm so sorry you had to tell me that. Imagine. He's a wife, he has his kids, he doesn't have anything to worry about. He has to apologize to the doctor. He has to tell him, you know, I feel bad. And he told me, he said, when he gets better, he's going to go to that doctor's house with a bottle of wine and make a lechayim. You know, we should all join them. But he's not angry. He's dafka working to see Hashgacha Pratis leading up to this diagnosis. He said to me the first night, and this was before it really hit him, before he even understood what he was dealing with. He says to me, he says, there's a reason I got so into the Garden of Amunah this past year. There's a reason I'm reading Divrei Torah from Rav Eliezer Brody every day. I'm downloading Shirim non-stop from Rav Eliezer Brody. He said, Kosh Baruch was preparing me for this. He says, I have the tools, I'm ready to fight. You know, I have the Amunah, I know what it's going to take. So I think, you know, if Chaim doesn't have any questions, so all the more so, none of us certainly have a right, even on his behalf, to challenge and to question the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chafetz Chaim writes on the Torah in this week's Parsha. He says the brothers had a lot of questions. It's everything Yosef had done to them. Right? There were a lot of questions. And what happens, says the Chafetz Chaim, Parsha's Vayigash, Hashashamu Mipi Acheim, Eshtei Amilim Halalu Ani Yosef, Umiyad Sara Akushios. The second Yosef HaTzadik said to them, I am Yosef, all the questions disappeared. And the Chafetz Chaim says, Alachas kam v'kam. Kasher yishma ha'olam eshtei amilim ani Hashem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes at the end of days, which is mamash the days in which we're living, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the world, he says, ani Hashem, all the questions, yitartu kol akushios, batmios, anhagas ha'olam. It all makes sense, mamash. The most difficult questions in the world. Shulachor lepele be'inenu arata, everything that's been bothering us until now, beprat, bechlal, it'll all be answered. Ki yad Hashem asa kol tovaseinu. I will come to recognize that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is mamish for the good. I spent Sunday night in the hospital with Chaim. It's not pashit. We sit with someone in the pediatric observation unit. Chaim's 26 years old. He's being treated like a pediatric patient. Those who know Chaim understand Pashut why that is. Happens to be a 40-year-old on the floor in Sloan Kettering in the pediatric department. So I guess it goes by your inner youthfulness. But you sit with someone who's not well, and you start to appreciate. You know, you learn a lot even without too much effort. You start to appreciate the little things in life. We schmoozed for a while, and then afterwards we went to sleep, and I was just thinking pashut things: eating, drinking, getting dressed, walking around. So Chaim fell asleep. It was 12:09. I looked at the clock, 12:09 a.m. Monday morning, and I was sitting there preparing for Stolo, working on some shiurim, and I had a bottle of water with me. So I made a shahako, and I remembered a vart from Rissal Salanter. Rissal Salanter one time was walking the streets of Paris, and he was thirsty. So he walked into this very fancy hotel, and he asked for a glass of, he asked for a glass of water. Right? Kosher, okay. It's kosher. And none of us would do it, because we're too nervous, everyone's going to think, it's fine, it's cold water in a cold cup, it's fine. So he sat down, he drank his glass of water, and he's ready to go, and he says, can I pay, please? So they bring him a bill, and he opens it up, right, and it's like, a lot of money, $10, right, in whatever currency they were dealing. So he says, there's a glass of water, maybe there's a mistake here. So the manager comes over and he says, let me explain something to you. He says, this is not Stam a glass of water. Right? He says, you're in one of the fanciest hotels in Paris. He says, you're not just paying for the water, right? You're paying for what? You're paying for the whole experience. You're paying for the plush couch that you're sitting on. You're paying for the ambiance, the aroma in the room, the background music. Right, that little guy in the tuxedo on the piano in the corner. You're paying for the whole experience. So he says, it's not just the water that you're paying for. The Rishal Salanter said, now I understand Pshat when we say Shakol Niyapidvaro. You drink a glass of water, you say Shakol, Shakol, this is Hakol, this is everything. Yeah, okay, Pshat, Pshat, Hakol Niyapidvaro, it is everything. You can't survive without it. Right, but he says, what are you doing? What are you saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you make a Shahakol? Right? What are you really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for giving me a hand and an arm to be able to hold this glass of water. Thank you for giving me lips and a tongue and a mouth and a stomach to be able to properly receive the water and know what to do with it. I should be able to maintain it within me and digest it in a healthy and a safe way. So, you're sitting there with someone who's being pumped full of IV fluids and you have a new appreciation of what it means, Shakol Niyapidvaro. Appreciation of what it means to just enjoy the simple things in life. I don't want to bum people out. It's Lahodus Lahala, it's Chanukah. Just to appreciate a little bit, Shakol Niyapidvaro, simple things, pashut things. Chaim said to me, he said he usually comes home from work, and he says, I'm always hoping that my kids are in pajamas already. That they have a bath, that they're in pajamas. And now his mama, she's trapped in a hospital bed. He said, I'd give nothing more in the world to be able to put my kids in pajamas. Little things. And about a half hour later, as his IV fluid bag started to empty and they needed a replacement, and the thing started beeping, and I was already falling asleep at my computer. So 12:29 a.m. I was woken from the beeping. And mamish, I was makabel another muster. We've all been there. You wake up in the morning, your alarm's going off, right? And you're thinking, if anything, one day I could just sleep in an extra hour, sleep as much as I want, go to a later minyan. Not have any responsibilities to the world. Right? There's like nothing, there's no, in my mind at least, I'm pretty poor at getting up in the morning. There's nothing more dreaded than that, that alarm going off in the morning. And I'm sitting there as I'm being woken to this alarm of his IV fluids needing a change. And I'm thinking, how much would Chaim give to be able to be waking up very early like he does every day? To go to work, even for an annoying day of work? Right? The little things that we take for granted, to be able to get out of bed in the morning, start a day, to get up, to wash hands, to go to the bathroom like a normal human being. Pashut things. Obviously, Chanukah has been very challenging for Chaim. And like most good Yidden, Chaim loves Chanukah. And I was very happy Baruch Hashem was able to be home the first night of Chanukah. And I went over after I lit, and Mamash ran over to his house and sat with him for about an hour. And we were talking about, what it's like to, at a time like this, to say Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. It was the only night. It was the only night he lit. He said to me in the hospital Sunday night, he said, is by far the weirdest Chanukah of my life. And I've had some weird Chanukahs. That's what he said. You know, he got to light the first night. It meant so much to him, just to be able to light that first night. So there's a mice with the Blue Jehovah Rebbe in Bergen-Belsen. Apologize if some people have heard it before. But the Blue Jehovah Rebbe, was the first night of Chanukah, and the Yidden gathered, and it had been a terrible day. The Germans, Yimach Shemam, had killed many Jews that day. And it was time to light Neros Chanukah. Always Neros Chanukah. Imagine what they had, you know, a little thread, some black shoe polish that they had stolen for oil. And the Blue Jehovah Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Shapira, got up, and it was time to light, and he made the first two brachas, then he turned around, and he looked behind him, he hesitated, and then he lit, made Shachiyanu and lit. So someone came over to him afterwards, a fellow who used to always debate him in, you know, religious matters, and he said, "No, Rebbe, Shachiyanu? Really? Shachiyanu? At a time like this, you look at us, skin and bones. Right? How many of us were killed today? You see piles, mom, as you're looking out the window, you see piles of dead Jews still lying in the camps. And you can go and make shechiyanu v'kimanu. V'giyanu l'zman hazeh. Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for keeping me alive until this day." So Blue Jehovah Rebbe turned to me and he said, "You know what, Lamaisa, I agree with you." He says, "You maybe noticed that I paused and I looked over my shoulder right before I made the shechiyanu." He says, "I was looking back to see if there were any other, you know, great tzaddikim, great rabbis standing behind me to get the permission. I wasn't sure if you're allowed to make a shechiyanu in this condition." He said, "But when I looked back and I saw so many Jews, mamish skin and bones, I saw so many Jews rallying behind me, standing there. The fact that they cared to even be there, to be a part of this halakas neros," he says, "it was pasha to me that we had every right. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu, to see Jews like this, to see Jews who mamish, their lives are on the line, and they're willing to come out to Hadlakas Neros, and they're willing to stand there, and they're willing to be a part of such a Hadlakas Neros." He says, "Pasha to be Kameka Shechiyanu." And this guy, Baruch Hashem, survived the war. And he told the Rebbe after the war, he found the Rebbe, tracked down the Rebbe, and he said, "Mamash, I live with that Torah the entire war. I survived the war because I was so uplifted by that reality of what? That the fact that we're alive, the fact that we still care, the fact that there are any Jews, after everything they've been through, or still care." So he says, "To me, that's a reason to go on living." I can only imagine what went through Chaim's mind. I know what went through Chaim's mind. He told me. I can only imagine the first night of Chanukah, standing there, knowing, you know, he's going in the next day for chemotherapy, to put a hole in his chest, to literally pump poison. Literally poison in his body. He goes to the bathroom, it's where gloves, because his urine is toxic. His mom is toxic. It's poison. You know, they flush it into you, and they flush it out of you as fast as they can. Mamish, it's, you know, he has no immune system right now. He killed off all his white blood cells. You gotta get rid of the bad, but that means you gotta get rid of the good. It's mamish, serious stuff. So we're talking about what it means to make a shechiyanu at a time like this. But I can imagine that one of the things that was mechazek him, I know it's one of the things that was mechazek him, was his knowing, and already then, mamish, the first night already, he knew. Just like the Blue Jehovah Rebbe, when he looked back and he saw so many yidden rallying behind him. So too Chaim looks back and he saw behind him physically, he saw his family, his wife, his kids. But also I think he saw beyond that. I think he saw a Klal Yisrael that's prepared to step up, to mamish step up. It's amazing. Mamish, in a week, you have people literally around the world who don't know Chaim, who don't know me, you know, distant people who, you know, long distant friends of my family who know my parents are amazing. People offering who mamish don't know Chaim from a hole in the wall. Offering to go to the Kotel and to go to Rebbe's and people, you know, offering all sorts of. It's amazing to see how many people are coming to his, are coming to stand behind him. That's the biggest chizuk in the world for him. He said, you know, it's hard day by day. Sometimes the pratim get overlooked when you see the big klalim. You know, mishnayis or mamish has shas mishnayis being learned for him. Tell him every day. You know, it's a pretty good deal. Not that anyone should need it for this reason, but you know, it's a big chizuk for him. Chazal say in the Gemara in Megillah, Rish Lakish says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu makas Yisrael elim kin bori lahem refu tchila." Kadosh Baruch Hu will never bring a punishment. It's like Rav Tzadok said, Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Beis. Kadosh Baruch Hu never brings a maka on Klal Yisrael unless the refu has been prepared. It's a klal gadol in Avodas Hashem. But the Nisayon is always intertwined with the Gula, with the Yeshua. That the Gullus is always intertwined with the Yeshua. And as we begin the week of Teves, Mamish, the darkest, the coldest, Tevis parallels Tammuz in the calendar, the winter months, what Tammuz is in the summer months. Mamash the lowest of the low. Bnei Yisachar says, the shame for Tevis, Hey Yud, Hey Vav. Right? The Hey, the letter of Din overpowering the Yud, the Hey overpowering the Vav. Mamash a month of Din, of cold, of dark, which obviously represents, you know, spiritual cold, spiritual dark. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we said, has always hikdim the refuah l'maka. In this week's Parsha, as it describes Bnei Yisrael going down into Mitzrayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already putting the gula in place. Gemara Bava Basra, I asked on Daf Kuf Chof Gimel, it says, what's the pshat? The Torah says there are 70 souls going down to Mitzrayim, you count them, there are 69. So Rav Abba Khalifa Kruya asked this from Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, he said, no, what's the pshat? Where's number 70? So he gives him a fake answer. Rashbam says he was sharpening him. He tries to say, oh, maybe there's a twin. Dina had a twin. Not buying it. So he says, no, come on. So he says, I had this pearl that that I wanted to keep for myself. Okay, you extracted the pearl from me. I'll give away the pearl. What's the pearl? Who's the pearl? The pearl is that Yocheved was born between the walls. So Moshe Wolfson asked, and what is he taking? No, what's the pearl? What's the big secret here? What was he trying to hold on to? Yocheved's born between the walls, number 70, Gevaldik. You know, what's the secret here? So Wolfson says, we know from the Medrash Eicha that the first night of Pesach always coincides with the same day of the week as what is Tisha B'Av. What's the pshat? That the Gaul and the Gula are always intertwined. So he says, what's the secret of Yocheved? What's the pearl of Yocheved being born between the walls? Klai Yisrael are mamash entering into Mitzrayim. Mamash the root of all galus. Right? The nun shari tumo, which we almost fell to. And dafka at that moment, Kadosh Baruch Hu is allowing what Yocheved is born between the walls to what? To say to what? To say that Moshe and Aaron and Miriam are being born at this moment. That the Geula is being put into place. You have nothing to worry about. I know it looks bleak. It looks like trouble on the horizon. 210 years of mamash difficult slavery. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, the Geula is there. The second they cross into Mitzrayim, the Geula is already in place. But also it says, if you look by the end of the Torah, Parshas Zos HaBracha, right, Shimon doesn't get a bracha directly. Levi already, the Bali Tosfos say, Levi is able to get a bracha, even though Levi was also involved in Shechem. Levi did tshuva by where? Bechei Eagle. Levi stood up for Kadosh Baruch Hu, they did their tshuva. But Shimon is still in bad standing. So Shimon's bracha is included where? With Yehuda. What's the pshat? Shimon's bracha is included with Yehuda. By the Nachla also, you see that there's some relationship between Shimon and Yehuda. So Wolfson explains, he says, think about it. Again, go back to the months. Right? The month of Av. Again, the mamish, the lowest of the low. Right? Each shevet corresponds to a month. The month of Av corresponds to Shimon. The month of Nisan, the month of Geula, corresponds to Yehuda. So why is it necessary that Shimon and Yehuda are woven together, that are tied together in this bracha, the end of the Torah, mamish, the end of the Torah? Says Rav Wolfson, it's the exact same shot. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing you that even in the Shimon moments, even in the Av, even in the difficulty, even in the Tzara, Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. Kadosh Baruch Hu is hikdim refuah l'maka. Hashem's there every step of the way. And Rav Wolfson concludes by saying the difference between the word Geula and Gola, right? The difference between Golas and Geula is the Aleph. Right? Is the recognition that the Aluf HaSholom is there all along. Not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu suddenly appears. But Geula is just that recognition. When a person realizes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, even in the Galus, so then a person realizes that the Galus is in fact really a Geula hiding within. There's Maharal in the Netzach Yisrael in the 10th parak. Try not to speak too much longer. The Chevra still wants to for bring a shtickle. Maharal is explaining the Gemara in Megillah. Thank you. Gemara is explaining, Rishon Bar Yochai is explaining, Bo'er A, Kama Chaviven Yisrael. Right? How wondrous are the Jewish people. Shkol Makum Shegalu Shechina Imam. Whenever they go, the Shechina goes with them. Golu Mitzrayim Shechina Imam. Golu Elam Shechina Imam. Golu Bavel Shechina Imam. Golu Edom Shechina Imam. The Shechina is with us. Va'af Kishahim Asidim Ligael Shechina Imam. And we're going to get out of the Golas, the Shechina is still going to be with us. So Maharal quotes a Rashba in his parish on the Agadata. Doesn't really appear there. Footnotes say it's really a Ritva. One of the Rishonim is bothered. What do you mean, a Kadosh Baruch? Of course, if a Kadosh Baruch is there with us in the Golas, he's not going to be with us in the Gula. Right? It's a Pasha question. Why does the Gemara need to conclude by saying, and just like Hashem was with you in the Golas, he'll be with you in the Gula? So Maharal, very appropriately, for a discussion, the Maharal says, I'll give you two reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with us more in the Galus than in the Gula. And he compares it, quotes from himself in the Gur Arya and Vayechi, of why Shekhinah is so much present by Echola. I daven b'yachidus Monday morning. I was hoping to daven the Sikin, but it was a rough night. More so for Chaim than myself, obviously. And I didn't know I was standing in this, you know, pediatric observation unit alone with Chaim, and I was not sure which way to daven. So I figured, you know, the Gemara says the Shekhinah is above the head of a Chola. So I figured I'd daven in the direction of, you know, you're supposed to face the Shekhinah. I didn't know what to do. Maybe it's a radical thing to do. It's probably not right. It felt right. So the Shekhinah rests above the head of a Chola. And therefore you're supposed to be careful. The Gemara says you're not supposed to sit. Or Shabbos says you're not supposed to sit above the head of a Chola. So the Maharal says, I'll give you two reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extra close to a Chola. He says, "A'echa shekol davar shetzarech shmira hashgachasu alav yoser." A person who needs that much more protection, so Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgach is that much more prevalent. "Va'achola sheyatzem mitivo asher nasan Hashem yisbarach teva el ha'adam." When a person is totally out of whack, when he's out of his teva, when nothing about him is operating within the normal seder of teva, as anyone who's sick can understand, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is that much more there to protect him. And then the Maharal says the second shot. Vatam Hashini who shekasav Omer as dachu shvar ruach eshkon, that Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells with one who is what, who is humbled, and obviously a person who's been confined to a hospital bed, a person who's sick at all, is very much humbled, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there. Says the Maharal, for the same two reasons that Kadosh Baruch Hu is so much by a chola, Kadosh Baruch Hu is with a person who's in galus, with Klal Yisrael in galus. He says in galus the Jewish people are out of the teva. The teva is that the Jewish people are supposed to be on top of the world. Not that the Jewish people should be subservient to another ummah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu has to help us, you know, in that moment where we're out of our teva. And he says, second of all, when the Jewish people are in galus, our mamash broken. And because we're so humbled, or hopefully we're humbled by the galus, we're supposed to be humbled by the galus, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is that much more there. But then the Maharal concludes by saying, you know, going back to the Rashba's question, if the Rashba ever really asked the question, what's the pshat of Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with us in the Gula? He just gave us two good reasons why Hashem is with us more in the Galus. He says, sometimes we think that when the Tzara is over, when the difficulty is over, when Mashiach is over, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to forget, you know, the broken Jews from the Ikus of the Mashiach. You know, maybe now we have moments where we feel extra close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have extra reasons that we should feel close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it's so dangerous out there, Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we need the Shmir Yisera, because we're out of the Teva, because we're so broken, Hashem is with us. But Mashiach is going to come, you know, Oz Yashir Moshe, Moshe is going to sing again, Tchias HaMesim, you know, and us Jews who were so close to Kadosh Baruch Hu at this time, we're going to be forgotten. Says the Gemara, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you in the Galus, He's still going to be with you in the Gula. It's the biggest chizik in the world to know that, you know, the closeness that Chaim, I'm sure, and I know, again, I know from what he's told me, the closeness that Hashkocha he feels for Kadosh Baruch Hu right now is going to stay with him. Something that when a person in Mirat Hashem recovers, it's something you live with forever. It's something that all of us, again, all of us being sick people in the Galus, is something that we know we'll be able to take with us into the Gula. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will still be there. And the closest we feel to Kadosh Baruch Hu in these challenging times will stay with us throughout the Gula. Pinkus tells a story in his Sefer on Hanukkah. Amish, 5 more minutes. Pinkus tells a story where 400 German citizens, Jews, were trying to escape from Germany, and they got on the boat headed to England. And they made it to England, and the Brits were not so accommodating. And they said, listen, we're not taking Jews, right? It's a war, maybe we're spies, all sorts of fake reasons for hating Jews. And they put them on a boat shipped to Australia. It was a cargo boat, and the boat was being manned by thugs from an Australian prison. They cut a deal with them. They said, listen, if you're willing to go out on the waters, it's a war, this boat could be bombed very easily, could be blown out of the water. If you're willing to, you know, sail to Australia, and you make it back with the boat, right? Australia, they weren't going to let them in. If you make it back, so then we'll renegotiate your prison term. Mamish thugs, hoodlums, biggest bums on the planet. So Nebuch, these 400 broken Yidden who were escaping, running from their lives, running from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were on this boat. You can imagine, as soon as they pulled out into the waters, right, these thugs, these terrible individuals, decided to have a good time with the Jews. And they took their last possessions, the little bit they had, searching for money. They said, Mamash, we have nothing, you know, we don't have anything, leave us alone. And they took their possessions, they took pictures and letters from loved ones that they Mamash left behind in Europe, people who they feared they would never see again. And they threw it all overboard, into the water. And the people eventually, they made it to Australia. You can imagine the tsar that they live with. And the questions they had on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all we've been through, you couldn't let us hold that last picture of a family member. A letter from a loved one. You know, a silly family heirloom something. After everything we've been through. After being beaten and broken and threatened. You couldn't let us keep something. I'd count the Maisa for about 40 years. About 40 years later. It's true Maisa. About 40 years later, Pinchas says, a German soldier, Nazi soldier, who was part of the submarine unit, his diary was found. And this is what he wrote in his diary. He says, we were out on the water, and we saw this strange ship sailing towards Australia. We got orders to fire on the ship. We fired a rocket at the ship, and we missed. But we noticed there was some debris floating in the water. So we sent out a smaller vessel up to the ship to check it out, to see what was going on there. And when we got close to the ship, we were so happy that we had missed, because we looked in the water, and we saw there were German documents, German pictures, German passports. Right? And we realized there must be Germans held hostage on the ship, being transported to Australia. And they got orders from Hitler Yimach Shmo himself to safely escort the ship to Australia. Can you imagine 400 Yidden running for their lives? Hitler Yimach Shmo sends them a special escort. They get to Australia. The German Jews, you know, exit the ship safely. And on the way back to England, the Germans blew up the ship. Just can you imagine, 40 years, these people living in Australia, many of them stayed in Australia, building their lives in Australia, living with that question, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to take away my last things, the last picture, my passport, you know, some remnant from a life that was once normal. You have to take that away from me. You couldn't let me keep those last few things. What we have to realize is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in funny ways. And sometimes a person has to just be patient. Right? The Chafetz Chaim said, the time will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Ani Hashem, it will all make sense. To realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. To be able to see deeply into the future. I won't bother everyone with the story, because I'm sure most of us know it. Shlomo's story, Rav Meishela, from the inn, Choza, Rav Melech, Tzidkas, you know the story? Shlomo's story is page 185, you look it up. Now you have to know what comes after. It's the story that Shlomo was told by the chief rabbi of Persia. But anyways, the mice is that a person has to look beyond. You can't look in your own Dalet Amos and say, you know, why? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do this? A person has to realize the Kodesh Baruch Hu has a plan. And sometimes when it looks like Kodesh Baruch Hu is not listening, that's dafka, it's out of that moment where he's not listening, that the greatest things come. Spinko Rebbe, Nesichos Kodesh, tells a story. I don't know if it's a true story. I say that because we probably all would have heard it if it was a true story. But maybe it's a lot of versions of how the Daf Yomi was started. Even the Rebbe's of Chortkov, they try to claim the Chortkov Rebbe started it and told Rebbe Shapiro. A lot of different, everyone wants to, maybe everyone had the idea. The Spinker Rebbe tells the story. He says what happened was Rebbe Shapiro was a young man, he got up. The Spinker Rebbe says it's not like people think. And people think that, you know, the Daf Yomi was the only suggestion that was announced at that gathering. He says, many speakers got up and announced new initiatives in Avodas Hashem. Let's do this, let's do that. Rav Meir Shapiro got up. The Chafetz Chaim was an old man at the time. He was one of the senior, most chashuv guests there. And he had a shamish who was escorting him. And the Chafetz Chaim was pretty deaf at that point of his life. And this shamish who was escorting him was supposed to relate to the Chafetz Chaim what everyone was saying. Happens to be that this shamish spaced out a little bit when Rav Meir Shapiro got up to speak. So Chafetz Chaim turns to me after Meir Shapiro sat down. He says, "Nu, tell me what the young man said." Shamish says, "You know, something about." So Chafetz Chaim says, "You aren't listening, you didn't hear." So Chafetz Chaim calls over Rav Meir Shapiro, and he says, "Say it again." He says, "Get up and say it again." So he got up, and at this point, everyone sees, you know, Chafetz Chaim is very interested in this idea, this great idea. And Rav Meir Shapiro gets up and he says his whole idea again. You know, I'm going to Daf Yomi. Right? And afterwards, everyone was makabler. Everyone said, wow, you know, it's gavaldik. This is amazing. The Chafetz Chaim, hold of all the ideas that were suggested at the Knesset Gedola, this was the Iker idea. And the Chafetz Chaim held so highly up. So again, think about it. Because someone wasn't listening. Dafka, because someone wasn't listening. You know what schar that shamash gets for spacing out, so to speak? So you know what it's like when it looks like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's not listening? Sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu looks like he's not listening. That's the biggest Yeshua in the world. It looks like he's afflicting us. And it looks like he wants to harm us. Pikesh Yaakov, Legalis, Saketz. What's the pshat? Yaakov Avinu, thousands of years before the Ketz, he's going to tell his sons. Next week's parsha, he's going to tell them when the Ketz is. So Gedalia Shor says what he wanted to reveal to his sons was the ability to find the Gula within the Galus. But the Shbaruch Hu didn't let him do it. Because it's not a Mesorah that can be passed from one generation to the next. It's something that we're each challenged to learn in our own way. Challenged to learn how to find the light in the darkness. To be able to find the Galus, to find the Gula rather, within the Galus in our own way. I said before, we're in the darkness of Teves. And Purim's around the corner. Wolfson already says, you start to see allusions in this parsha already to Purim. And Yamin, 5 Begadim, Mordechai, 5 Begadim. Already, you know, we need a little bit of light as it gets so dark. And in Purim, we know, we say the Mizmor, Ayal HaShachar. So the Medrash Shochar Tov on that Pasuk, says that immediately before the rise of the dawn, immediately before the morning, it's the darkest. An idea we've all heard before, it's darkest immediately before it gets light. And the Vilna Gaon explains that the term Shachar, which means morning, which means dawn, is related to the word Shachur. What's the Pshat, says the Vilna Gaon, in Avnei Eliyahu. He says, because the moment immediately preceding the dawn is when it's darkest. Right? When your mamish on the verge of the biggest light in the world, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you in the biggest darkness. Like the Zohar says, the less Nahora Elahu Dinafik Migav Chashucha. Right? There can be no light except that which comes out of darkness. How much the first words Chaim said to me when I got to the hospital. He was really stripping. Big time. You know, they lowered his medicine so they could get him back to Ol Mazel a little bit. But he said to me, he closed his eyes and he said, shh. It's a dark farce. Mamish, dark farce. Mamish, this stuff messes with your head. Right? But we know at the other side of those dark farce, here it's Hashem Bekarov, Mamish Bekarov. The other side of those dark farce and the other side of all that difficulty and all that tsar and all that hardship and all that Mamish, all of this Nisayon, right? We know 100% that Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting on the other side. And that's why when Yaakov and Yosef meet up, and Yaakov saying Kriya Shema, what's the pshat? So I once heard from the name of Rav Ganak, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That Yaakov was saying that Mamish at the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Yosef away from me, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the same Hashem who looked like Elokeinu, who looked like Midas Adin, the same God who took away, who made, took Yosef HaTzadik away from me, right, is the same God who brought Yosef HaTzadik back to me. And that's Mamish the biggest wish in the world that I have for Chaim. Right, that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in this difficult Nisan will be there every step of the way. And our mamas bring him back safely. And we'll be able to acknowledge Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Just want to be Messiah with a quick vart for Zos Chanukah. Just to end on a positive note. The story I've told a couple times over Chanukah. Most of you haven't heard it from me yet. Chorka Rebbe was known to look at many kvitlach. Hundreds of people would come to him and he'd sit there with kvitlach. And after hours, the Chorka Rebbe would lock up his door and no one would ever be out of the room. And he'd sit there for hours, no one knew what he was doing. So, one chassid of David Zeideman decided he wants to see what the Rebbe was up to. So he climbed the tree opposite the Rebbe's window. Mamash climbed the tree, you know. Chazas to Kedusha, shtickle. He climbed the tree and he's peering through the window to see what the Chorka Rebbe does, you know, after hours. And he sees the Rebbe sitting there with a stack, mamish, piles of kvitlach on his table. And he's going through them again, one by one, mamish, every single one, to make sure that I dial and that I get it. And he sees, as he's looking through the window, the Rebbe picks up a kvitl. He's looking through the window, and he sees the Rebbe struggling to understand the particular kvitl. He's looking, and he's twisting it this way and that. And he sees he can't make sense of it. And the Rebbe gets up from his desk, and he looks very distraught. And he goes over to the lamp in the middle of the room, and he holds it up to the light. He's trying to make some sense. He's trying, you know, his very messy handwriting. Still can't make sense of it. And the Rebbe, in his great avos yisrael, as he was known, Chorka Rebbe gets up on a chair. He's mamish. He's holding it, pressing it up against the light. Mamish as close as he can to try. And then finally, the chassid of David Zeideman sees him from his view from the tree. He sees, oh! It finally clicked. He sees the Rebbe gets it. He understood. He was able to read this individual's kvitl. What's the pshat? I think it's pashut. The pshat is that we know that Zos Chanukah is the Gemara Chasima. We all wrote the Kvitl. Everyone wrote the Kvitl. We wrote the Kvitl ourselves, according to the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. We wrote it on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shana Rabbah, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. We've been working on the Kvitl. But Lamais, at the end of the day, many of us come. We come to the end. The Kvitl's still a shtickle messy. It's not so clear. commitments we said we were going to take upon ourselves are not so strong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, like the Rebbe in the story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to hold the kfit up to the light one last time. I'm going to hold it up to the light of the menorah. I'm going to look carefully one last time to mamash see, is there something, is there some redeeming quality here? Right? If I look at it in the or, can I see something? Do I see a Jew who's mamish bechinas the or? The vart of Zos Chanukah is that a Jew is given one last chance to be held up to the or. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, let me see, before I make the real Gemar Chasima, like the Arizal says, Zos Chanukah, I want to see one last time by the or. I want to see where this Yid's or is holding, the Neshama, his or. Chaim would have loved nothing more than to be an Amar of like tonight. Maybe it would have been the Chazan. Ritz Hashem next year, Zos Chanukah, we'll come back. Be the Chazan. To have Yidin who come together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Slavas, like a flame that's always jumping and wanting more. The Rebbe Cheskel says, Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. Ki ner mitzvah, just like the mitzvah. Just like the ner is the mitzvah. By Chanukah, hadlako is the mitzvah. It's the ner that's the mitzvah. So do Torah or. The Torah is judged by the or. Our Torah is going to be judged by our Slavas, our excitement in the Avodas Hashem. There's a big tzaddik from Eretz Yisrael who passed away recently, Rav Nosson Gestetler. I'll end with the vart from him. He says, Zos Chanukah. He says, there's a halacha. End with the Dvar halacha. He says, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Taf Reish Ayin Zayin, what do you do with extra oil? Hanoser b'yom hashmini min hashemen hatzarach l'shir adlaka. You have extra oil left over from your menorah. Oselo medura v'sarfo b'shnei atzo. So you make a bonfire, you burn it by itself. It says Rav Nachman Gestetner, it's mamash still within the Shloshim since his passing. Kadosh from Eretz Yisrael, not so well known. He says Yesh Lomo Remez B'zeh Ki B'yom Hashmini Tzarech La'atzor Linsor B'kirbo Es Kedushas Neres Chanukah L'chol Hashanah. We're being told take the extra little bit of oil, the little bit of shemen that's left, right? Nefesh, take our neshama, Ner P'sila Shemen, take whatever's left, a little bit that's left, and gather it in mamash for the entire year. V'zeo ha-nosar b'yom ha-shmini osolo medura shel islavus asiyos ha-mitzvos. He says, make a medura. What does it mean? He means make a medura inside yourself. Right? Make a medura inside yourself with islavus. V'sarfo b'fnei atzmo. What does it mean? Sarfo b'fnei atzmo. Pashup shah, burn it by itself. Sarfo b'fnei atzmo b'soch atzmo. V'libo b'fnim yuso. To take whatever's left. To take something from Chanukah, to internalize it. Take some of the messages we spoke about tonight, the Emunah that Chaim has, right? The reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in the darkest times, that the Shachar is preceded by a Shachur, that's sometimes very difficult. So thank you all for coming. Mirtz Hashem, we should only share B'suros Tovos. Mirtz Hashem, next year is Zos Chanukah. We'll be here with Chaim, a healthy Chaim, a strong Chaim, and he'll lead us in a tefillah. That's mamish, kiner mitzvah v'torah, full of islavos. It should be mamish and medura b'fneyatz, we should burn that medura inside of ourselves. We should all be zolcha to the geula, b'mehera uv'karov.